keep yourself in the loop of everything football. Listen to Alex and Jeremiah on the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
Hello there, I'm Jeremiah.
I am Alex, always and forever here.
Dedicated to college and NFL football. The latest football news on and off the field. NFL draft trade rumors. We've got you covered from the NFL, Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC, and everything else in between. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
Tuning into the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, where we talk the latest news, rumors, and games of the NFL and college football from the latest signs to this year's breakout stars and all the news in between. As always, I'm your host, Jeremiah Martinez. I'm going solo today as Alex is chilling in San Diego at Comic-Con. I'm really jealous of him right now. He's out there living it up, living a good life, and I'm just here recording, but whatever. I won't get too much into it, but happy Wednesday to all you guys out there, you know, commuting to work, commuting from work, and I'm here to get you through the day. Well, today I'm going to talk about Charles Tillman. Yes, announcing his retirement earlier this week in a very hilarious way, I might add. Then the former All-Pro running back Arian Foster signs with the team, and chips and football, they go together, right? But it's not the chips that you think, but anyway, let's get started, y'all. All right. Well, after 13 seasons, Charles Tillman has decided to retire from the NFL. That's right. Peanut Punch has come to an end. You know, the former cornerback announced the news on Twitter with a YouTube video that shows him hanging up his cleats at the end of the video with at a time clock that below has a sign that reads, "Best day ever." Well, in the 3-minute long video, Tillman knocks down everybody, well, not everybody, that is, everyday items out of the hands from family members and friends. And it's kind of amusing in a way. And if you guys seen this video, it's pretty funny. You guys check it out. My favorite part, actually, in the 3-minute video, I might add, is when he knocks out food from his friend's hands in the drive-thru. That's probably the funniest moment of the video for me, that is. But, you know, Tillman retires at the age of 35. And, yeah, you know, he had a couple of injuries that derailed his career in his past three seasons, for that matter. But all I got to say, man, what a player he was, man. What a career he had. 2 Pro Bowls, 2011, 2012, 42 forced fumbles during the first 12 seasons, all with the Bears, you know, because he played last year with the Carolina Panthers. His 42 fumbles was more than any defensive back has since fumbles became a stat and recorded in 1984. Yeah. That's quite an accomplishment. And last season with the Panthers, you know, he forced 2 more, you know, to put that number at 44. And holding 2 interceptions, giving Tillman 38 career total. All right. Well, Tillman plays such a big role for so many great defenses in Chicago. And, you know, even last year with the Carolina Panthers, he played a vital, vital role. Tillman will be remembered as a physical force in the secondary. You know, you got to think about the teams he's played on, especially when the Bears made the Super Bowl against the Indianapolis Colts, you know, in 2007. And he was a big part of that defense, a big part of why they were there. But, you know, he didn't give up many plays either. You know, he just always went for the ball, you know, using, you know, the infamous peanut punch. And I think he is a Hall of Famer. You know, you can disagree with me or not. I think he's a Hall of Famer. Just his forced fumble numbers by itself is just astonishing. He found ways to create turnovers for his team to put the offense in position to score. He was just one of the best at it. And Since Tillman entered the league in 2003, you know, as a second-round draft pick by Chicago, his 44 forced fumbles is second only to Robert Mathis of the Indianapolis Colts. I know that's not really a fair comparison because Mathis is an outside linebacker, but here's something else that's very astonishing. Tillman is the only defensive back in the top 10 of forced fumbles since 2003, since his rookie year. The other, nearly his 44 forced fumbles, nearly doubles former Oakland Raiders and Green Bay Packers defensive back, Charles Woodson. Yes, Charles Woodson. As some people like to say, he is the GOAT of defensive backs, and he's considered a first ballot Hall of Famer in, you know, in my eyes and other people's eyes as well. But the fact that he has more forced fumbles than Charles Woodson, it's amazing. You have to put him in the canon conversation. You know, I don't know if Tillman is a first ballot Hall of Famer, but he will be in the Hall of Fame. He will be in the Hall of Fame, and I really, really think that. You know, Tillman's ability to cover, forcing the ball away from players were just all well-timed. And it's hard to strip or punch away the ball from anybody. And it was perfectly timed every time, perfectly timed when Charles Tillman did it. In every game, every forced fumble he had, it was just perfectly timed in every game. You know, unfortunately, injuries in the past few years did derail his career, you know, with two straight right triceps injuries in his last two seasons with the Chicago Bears and last season with the Carolina Panthers, you know, tearing his ACL. But you can't disregard what he did in his prime. And he's probably one of the most underrated players in the game. And he's probably one of the best Chicago Bears of all time, especially in the secondary. He's probably one of the best defensive back ever to play for the Chicago Bears. Ever. And this is a franchise that has multiple defensive greats. You know, Mike Singletary, Brian Urlacher, who recently retired a few years ago. Lance Briggs, too, who also played with Tillman along with Urlacher. And don't forget, William the Refrigerator Prairie. You know, he was an all-time Bears great and still is. But I love the way he announced his retirement. You know, is the most... It's probably the most creative way to announce retirement I've seen since Jared Allen, you know, posted that video riding a horse to the sunset. Yeah, that was pretty good. And when Marshawn Lynch posted a picture, you know, during the Super Bowl, you know, with the cleats hanging up, I swear players are getting so creative with the way they're announcing their retirement these days, especially in the NFL. Well, going back to Tillman's career, he played 156 games. Started all of those and only missed four when with the Chicago Bears. He's the career leader in the Bears' defensive touchdowns with 9 and owns the record for most interceptions in the career with 36. Among all Bears cornerbacks, and I wish him nothing but the best in his next phase in life. You know, with his foundation that he's very committed to serving the community. You know, he did win a Walter Payton Man of the Year award a few years ago, and I'm really sad to see him go. He was really a good player to watch, really fun to watch too, especially earlier in the mid 2000s. Guy was just lights out. Yeah, but I'm going to take the first break for you guys here today at the Golden State Media Conference Football Podcast, and I will get into Arian Foster signing with a team earlier this week and what he says about it. I'll be right back. And do not go anywhere, guys. Remember, be there or be square. Be there or be square.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
All right, welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. Yeah, for our next bit of news today, Arian Foster is no longer a free agent as the former All-Pro running back signed a one-year deal with the Miami Dolphins on Monday. That's right, he's off the market. The contract is worth $1.5 million and includes incentives that could bring its total value to a maximum of $3.5 million. After signing with the Dolphins, Foster said, "He started a new chapter of my life," quote unquote. That is what he said. Foster is joining a Miami Dolphins backfield that features J.I., you know, the former Boise State running back, and Kenyon Drake, a former Alabama running back who mainly was used as a chase of pace back last season for Derrick Henry. He was, you know, they're both these guys are on top of the depth chart. And remember, Foster turns 30 years old in August. And I don't see him becoming an all-pro running back like he was with the Houston Texans. I just do not see it. I do not see it at all. Foster played in four games last season, suffering two different and significant injuries. You know, he had a torn groin injury in training camp that caused him to miss the first three games. And he returned for four games after that until he suffered a torn right Achilles tendon against, ironically enough, Miami Dolphins, the team he's with now, in week seven, which occurred in final 5 minutes. Yeah, it was terrible injury. Terrible, terrible. To happen like that at the end of the game, terrible. But since 2010, when Foster became the starter and he had that breakout season, Foster has had multiple injuries, such as a torn meniscus, multiple hamstring injuries, a knee injury, a back injury, which requires surgery, by the way, two groin injuries, one minor, one major, and, of course, a torn Achilles, which he suffered last season. And in that time, Foster carried the ball for an average of 20 times per game. It's the highest average in the NFL. The highest. I know. It's pretty, yeah, I was pretty surprised by that as well, to be honest with you. He's played in only two full 16-game seasons since his breakout 2010 season. And I see him being a reliable role player, especially someone that can be used in the passing game. I think JJJ is the starter, and Kenyon Drake is going to be the change of pace back. Yeah, man. I think he's more suited to be in the passing game this year. Because you see what he did last year with the Houston Texans. He was pretty good at the passing game. Just fortunately, he just couldn't get to the second level like he used to. And he's only played, I just do not see him being the all-pro running back again. Just do not see it at all. Not at all one bit. Because remember, when he was healthy, Arian Foster was just an absolute stud. You know, going back to his 2010 season, he was the rushing leader the whole year. He won the rushing title with 1,616 rushing yards. Then also kind of fell out, but you know, still had over 1,000 yards the next season in 2011. Then 2012, he had over 1,400. But then, you know, of course, that's when injuries started happening the year after that in 2013. They started hindering him a little bit. He only rushed for 542. And then his last, you know, good year in 2014 only had more than 1,200 yards, which isn't that bad. It's not bad, but he only had 163 rushing yards last season. As we take a look from his game stats a little bit from last season. Of course, you know, he didn't come back until, you know, week four, you know, against the Atlanta, you know, the Atlanta Hawks. Oh, my bad. The Atlanta Falcons. I'm so sorry. Atlanta Falcons. They're all bird teams, so they're all confusing. Atlanta Falcons. Yeah, he only rushed for 10 yards and 25 through the air. He didn't do that. He didn't pretty much do that well in that game. And then Houston absolutely got torched 48-21 in that game. And then the next week, he had a better game. 77 receiving yards, which is Arian Foster-like, but only rushed for 41 on 19 carries. He only averaged 2.2 in that game. Then the week after that, he did have 100 total yards again, you know, with 53 rushing yards and 59 receiving yards. But those 53 rushing yards were on 18 attempts, 2.9 average a carry. And then his final game of that year, last season, he only had 59 rushing yards on 18 attempts, which averaged 3.3 a carry, but did get 66 receiving yards. You see what I'm trying to say here is that he's more suited to be a passing back now because of what he's done recently, especially last season. You know, he can't really stay healthy. He can't be a three-down back anymore the way he was used in Houston. So I think Miami might find certain ways for him to succeed, especially in the passing game. And if Arian Foster can, you know, do well in the passing game, that bodes well for Ryan Tannehill. He needs as many weapons as he can. He just needs as many weapons as he can if they want, you know, if the Miami Dolphins front office wants Tannehill to succeed. They need weapons around him. And I think Arian Foster could be a viable player in this offense if he's used correctly. He can't be used as a three-down back. He has to be used as a passing back. And when you're playing teams like, you know, the Bills, the Jets, and the Patriots, you're going to need that, you need the passing game to work, especially when you're playing against defenses like Buffalo and the Jets. Ryan Tannehill is probably going to do a lot of checkdowns, and I think Arian Foster could, you know, be very good and successful, you know, in those type of plays. So going back to Arian Foster's stats last year, he only averaged 2.6 yards a carry. 2.6 yards a carry. Yeah, that's pretty bad. That was pretty bad. But going back, you know, that was the lowest he's ever had in his career. 2.6 average a carry. But before that, he at least averaged 4 yards a carry before that. You know, his highs being 4.9 in 2010, his breakout season, and then 4.8 in 2014, his last, you know, good year. But yeah, I really only see Arian Foster being a passing back if he has any chance of having success this year. I do not see him being a three-down back unless JJJ and Kenyon Drake get hurt. Because if JJJ gets hurt, then Kenyon Drake's probably going to be the starter. And that's what I think of the Arian Foster signing. And I will take my final break on the Golden State Media Conference Football Podcast and we'll talk about chips and football. Yeah, those two things go together, right? Chips and football, but They're not any, but these are not potato chips, and these are not Doritos. And I will tell you what kind of chips they are. All right, I'll be right back. Be there, be square.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
All right, welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. I'm your host, Jeremiah Martinez. Today, as some of you know, I am going solo, as Alex is, you know, he decided to take some time off to go to this little convention called Comic-Con, but I think he's actually lying. He's probably playing Pokemon Go somewhere on the river. I have no idea, but yeah, I know he said he doesn't like Pokemon Go, but I'm not buying that one bit. I am not buying that one bit. But I'm not here to complain about doing this to the show alone, but you know, because you know, I am here with you guys, you know, listening. As you guys are listening, you know, whatever you guys are doing, either traveling, commuting to work, or just plain chilling, I'm just here to get you through the day. All right, for our final story today, chips and NFL footballs. Chips and NFL footballs. Yeah, chips usually go together when you're watching football, but these aren't the chips you kind of eat. These are actual, real, legit microchips that will be planted in NFL footballs. That's right. There's a change coming to the NFL as the league will use microchips in footballs to collect data, such as how far the ball travels on a particular play, you know, such as when a quarterback throws it, how much it travels, and the ball's proximity to the goalposts on field goals and or PATs. NFL spokesman Michael Signora said the league will start using those microchips and footballs during the preseason as part of the next phase of the next gen stats, you know, tracking project. A chip will literally be placed in every ball during preseason games next month, and the league's competition committee will review the results and data after the season to also determine how the footballs perform along potential users of collected data. And there's also most likely these microchips are going to be used in Thursday night football games as well. Signora said there's potential for information to be used on several platforms like NFL.com and games, NFL, live NFL games like legit games. Most likely it'll probably be Thursday night games this season. With this as a potential, you know, change to the kicking game, I think this kind of makes kickers a little more valuable. You know, you get to see how far, you know, they can kick the ball with distance and how, you know, how they miss them. But I'll get more back into it towards the end of this segment. One thing I want to get with these NFL microchips is that they won't read real-time PSI, which is pounds per square inch measurements. You know, some of you know, this was a question that automatically came up with the Deflategate saga, which is thankfully over. And I'm so mad I had to mention it one more time on the show because, you know, as you guys have been listening, me and Alex have been talking about this, and I'm not going to go any further about that. But, yeah, you know, this was a question that was going in when this was announced, and they will not measure PSI in footballs. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if the technology, you know, is implemented to calculate and measure PSI, you know, because, you know, it's available now, you know, it's available now, you know, it's because, you know, you can also measure, you know, your tires, you know, when they're low now, like when you're driving, there's a little signal. Some cars have this. There's little tools that, you know, warns, you know, you when you're driving that your tires are getting low and, you know, collects PSI. Some cars have that. Mine doesn't personally, but, you know, whatever. But when the NFL did random spot checks of ball inflation last season, no PSI readings were released. So I don't know why. So, yeah, that is probably the main thing that everyone thought was going to happen and the main reason why this was happening, because of the PSI measurements and with all the Deflategate saga. You know, they didn't, you know, the NFL didn't want that again. But, you know, it's just not going to measure that. And I think it could happen if this study and data bodes well. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it's implemented in 2017. But what I think is also influences kickers a little bit. Yeah, it definitely influences kickers, you know, especially with the permanent change with the PATs, you know, going back permanently, you know, as last year. There's an 85% conversion rate. And, you know, you saw how kickers were valuable last year and the year before that. And, you know, that's why Justin Tucker got paid $16.8 million in his new contract. You know, kickers are being more valuable now, you know, and I know some fans don't like when it comes down to kickers to tie or win a game. I personally, sometimes I don't like when it comes down to a kicker to win a game. I just don't think it should, but that's just the way the game is played. And, you know, those kickers are valuable now. Those kickers are more valuable than ever now. And I think with the data collected from these football chips, you know, you're gonna see how accurate, you know, these kickers kick with, you know, distance, how accurate they kick it, and the field goals. So yeah, I think it's a change that's gonna probably, you know, influence the impact of kickers more often in the future. You probably won't see it this season, the season after that, but you will see it in the future. And kickers are people too, and are more valuable than ever. And that is all I have for you guys today. So thank you for tuning into the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. And you can always follow us on Twitter and Instagram at GSMC_football, as well as on Facebook at Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. You can catch us on multiple platforms such as iTunes. We have 4 episodes every week, Stitcher, YouTube, SoundCloud, Google Play, and on my next show, my last solo show of this weekend, and the last show before Alex comes back, I will talk about an NFL representative going to Rio. Yes, NFL representative going to Rio, and I will talk about the ACC. Yes, they're getting their own network. Yes, getting their own network. And an owner got his own statue. His own statue. And I will tell you more about it on the next episode of Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. And you guys have a great day. Be safe. And catch you guys on a flippity flip. All right.